Now, during the course of our interview, Owen just started talking about a fear he had of driving short distance or long distance. This anxiety disorder is known as agoraphobia, when people fear being in situations where escape might be difficult or help might not be available if they experience panic, anxiety, or distress. And it's hard to believe this very outgoing salesman's personality was dealing with this disorder. So here is Owen.
I'll tell you another thing that I ran into. I was down in my late 20s. One day I was just driving down the road to go see another little town, just go down to see the people. And it's about 10:20 in the morning that just came over me, and I thought, I think I'm going to die right here on the road. It scared the hell out of me. Well, it turned out that the top doctor in town lived in this little town. He was a Jewish fellow from back east that had worked at the little country doctor in this little town. He had one of these units, medical center, when they're overseas in World War II. And this Jewish fellow met him, and through him met this country doctor's only daughter and married him and moved back here from Chicago and moved into that little town. And so I knew that his office was going to be down there, which, by the way, his secretary was my service manager's wife. And that last 5 miles down to that little town, I mean, I was driving 100 miles an hour, whipped in the driveway and honked on the horn, and nurses ran out there, going, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" I said, "I don't know. I think I'm dying." And so I remember going in and sitting on the little gurney there, and the doctor came in and said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I don't know. I said, I just think, by gosh, I'm about to jump off of this thing." And I said, I don't know. I'm in bad shape. I can't get control of myself." He said, "Don't worry about it. I'm going to hit you in the damn head with a hammer and I'll straighten you up." Well, anyway, then I had to go to a fellow in Oklahoma City. This doctor used to take the time off. He gave 1 week, 1 day out of every week to the OU school down there, medical school. And so he and his wife put me between them, and they drove me down and took me to this doggone doctor down there, a psychiatrist. And I found out that other people were having some mental problems also. So I was walking out the front door one day, out of my house, and I heard on this guy on the radio from Dallas, and he was citing the fact that he was a wealthy person that had an office in downtown Dallas, but he was listening to the radio, and he had gone to some high-powered psychiatric place there in Dallas. He was telling the story, and he was telling his story how that one day he was in his office, and he just thought all of a sudden that he was just, fear came over and grasped him, and he called his mother, who was a widow, and he said, I don't think I'll ever see you again in that light. And he said, "I think I'm going to die." Well, it turned out that he went to this psychiatric place down there, and he was telling that story, how they helped cure him. I just got to thinking about that, and about 3 or 4 months later, I said, "You know, maybe I need to see that fella down there. But how do I find out where he is?" So I called the guy who had I heard on the radio, and I said, "Tell me the name of that place." And he did. And what was ironic to think that I could call on the phone and the man answered the phone, you know, not some secretary or something, but he referred me to this psychiatric hospital. And then the head man that ran it, I picked up the phone, called, and that guy happened to be the one answered the phone too. So I got to speak to him in person. And I said, "I appreciate you, but I know I just called you out of the blue. God bless you, hooked me up. Why else would you have answered the phone?" I told him about how this fellow had referred me to him. And I said, "You know, would you consider coming to Stillwater?" I said, "One of the things is I'm having a hard time traveling right now." And he said, "Well, you know, what you need to do is just have somebody throw in the trunk of a car and haul you down here." And then he laughed and he said, well, if you could do that, you wouldn't be calling me, would you? I said, no, I want you to come to Stillwater. He said, Mr. Thomas, I get requests like that every day. I said, I can't do that. Can't do that at all. I said, well, I want you to think about it. So I hung up. I don't know. A week went by and he called me. And he said, you know what? I've been thinking about you. He said, if you could get some of the doctors there in Stillwater to get a location where we get about 250 people in there, why, I'll come up there and I'll bring some people with me. I said, well, that sounds like a deal. I think I could do that. Well, I knew the guy that's running the church, the hospital at that time, and I knew every doctor in town. And so I got a large building where they had a area there where you could hold that many people. Sent out some notices and that like. And we had, I think we had 155 people show up. They had come from all over the state into Stillwater to meet there. And some of them couldn't even get out of their cars to get up to the door. They were so anxious, but everybody had a safe person. So they gave quite a talk to them and that like, and et cetera, et cetera. And people could ask them questions. And then when they got through, I stood up and I said, well, you told everybody what they could do and that like is such and such and so forth. But what I want to know is, what are you going to do? We need to have somebody come up here. So they said, well, if you can meet with the board, with the hospital, why, we'll consider doing that. So again, I knew most of the people in town. So I met with about 40 people out at the hospital. We were on the hospital board and all that business, and spoke for about an hour and everything was quiet. They thought I was lying because nobody knew I had this problem. And, but sure enough, since I was kind of a main person in the Presbyterian Church, I said, well, we'll just meet the Presbyterian Church. And we did that. And they sent four people up here to interview people. We advertised four people to come in. We're having these problems. And like I say, we had about 100 people show up. And they flew a band up here every Thursday for the next 5 years. Mm. And we had them come from as far as 150 miles away into the Presbyterian Church there. Some of them, it's hard for them to get. One lady lived over in Cushing, which was about 25 miles away, a little town, and told me when she started out, it took her an hour to get across the river before he got here, because that's all the farthest she could make it. We'd have somebody else. We'd have people sitting outside the doors because they were too anxious to come in. And so we did that for some time, and then we moved it up at the high school. We had an assembly hall down there. And I don't know, I got up and spoke one day, and I got to tell you what, when it was over, you thought it was Jesus. I had people coming up there, you know, talking to me and that like. And I finally got over that crap.
Well, I think it's amazing. You admitted you had a mental health problem, and you were open about that, and look how you influenced all these other people.
Well, I'll tell you, when I learned that you had to do, you could go to a psychiatrist forever, which a lot of people do, and they can help you to a point. But I'll tell you, I came out of it, say this kind of crazy like, but God must have been on my side, because I listened to another person who was back in the East, who had gone before the U.S. Senate and spoke, to try to get them to help with the mental situations. And I called her, and I called another guy like these out in California. And for some way, I always got to talk to them, and I got to know them on a first name basis. And one of them told me that there was a fellow over in Tulsa, and he was the only one in the whole state that was really doing any good. So I contacted him, and when I spoke with him, he said, I've just started this thing. He said, the reason I'm getting into it, he said, I actually and the head of the children's hospital. But he said, I've got a 5-year-old son that's got this problem, and I've got a 35-year-old wife that's got this problem, and so I've started this on. Said, well, I'd like to come to you. So he did, and he started the thing on every Thursday night over there. And we had probably about 75 people in there. And they would come in, and he said, we're going to learn how to live with all this stuff together. He said, I can't wave any magic wand or anything. This time went by why people would start venturing out, trying certain things to do to get them to move. And then they would come back in and they would tell about, how they had made a 75-mile trip or they did such and such and so forth. And I said, it's like the tiger in the circus. There's nothing that they fear more than fire, but they can train that tiger to jump through this hoop that's burning. Mm-hmm. And until you could go to see a psychiatrist forever, but until you jump through that hoop and getting in a car to go somewhere, why, you're never going to be well. At that one thing, back to the Presbyterian Church, when we were walking out of the car after one meeting, this little college girl walked up to me and she said, Mr. Thomas, she said, I can travel, but I have a lot of fear and a lot of problems. But she said, if it'd help you, I'll ride with you. And that little girl and I, 3.5 years, would drive. We started out, I could make it 9 miles out. I went through a period where it was hard for me to leave town. We would drive 9 miles out, turn around, and come back. And then we finally made it out to the turnpike, which was 15 miles. And we'd get up on it, and I could drive about 3 miles, then I'd come back. And then finally we'd make it into some little town out there, and we'd get out and walk around, right up and down the streets of the town and come back. And by gosh, we did that, like I said, for about 3.5 years doing that. And that's how I overcame it.
So this was a phobia about leaving your neighborhood.
Leaving the city limits, I got down to where it's hard to leave the city limits of Stillwater. That's pretty hard to be a car dealer to do that,
Right. And it's amazing, as outgoing as you were and knew all these people, they would have thought you'd be the last person in the world who would have this phobia.
Most people wouldn't even believe it, Most people would be dead, but the guy that was head of the publishing department, I had about 5 people that would volunteer the damn time besides this little girl to go with me and ride and do these things until I could overcome it. One of the things is when my sister lived in Denver, Colorado, and she said her husband was dying, and she'd like for me to come out there. And I said, well, it's hard for me to drive. She said, I'm just telling you. So I told my wife, I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I said, we're going to get in the car and we're going to drive out there. We took my younger son. And I said, if I get frightened and you have to take over, put a stick in my mouth and I'll bite down on it. And when I say stop and turn around and go back, just don't stop. That's how I overcame it.
Wow. How old were you? How old were you then?
It left me for a while, but then it came back. And I was probably about 50 then.
So that is Owen Thomas talking about a form of mental illness, agoraphobia, the fear of traveling, even short distances, even leaving the house because of the anxiety that comes over some people. And if you know someone with this disorder, it can be helpful to encourage them to seek professional help, as treatment is often very effective. You got to admire Owen, who at 96 years old was willing to share this part of his story.